Take your Bibles to 1 Timothy, if you will. Little Bear Bible Club will not be dismissing this Sunday night. They will start up next Sunday night, much to the chagrin of so many of our children. But Miss Vicki wants to start off with a big bang next Sunday night. It's a Western theme. It's Roundup, and asking all the boys and girls to come with a Western-type outfit or a cowboy hat or a cowgirl hat or something along those lines. She's going to have things decorated, plenty of prizes. It's going to be a fun time. And so that's next Sunday night. All the children, you be mindful of it. We're also going to be passing out a flyer at Grandview Christian Academy and encouraging others in that age group to be able to come and be a part of a wonderful, wonderful program. Our kids love Little Bear Bible Club. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. For the next several weeks, we're looking at a series of faithful sayings found in the New Testament. There's six of them. There's four where it specifically says this is a faithful saying. There's others that says this saying is faithful and true. This is a faithful and true saying. But we're finding that a faithful saying in the New Testament is something that was much talked about in their day. So what they're saying is this is not a saying that ought to be faithful. This is a saying that is a faithful saying, which means it didn't matter if you went to church at Ephesus or Colossae or Galatia or Corinth or any of the places you would go, you would hear these type sayings being said in the church. And there's certain phrases, for instance, that churches will say, like praise the Lord, or oh, that was wonderful, or that was a blessing. And so there's different phrases you'll hear if you go to church and were raised up in church. And these were the type of sayings that were faithfully heard in the churches of the New Testament. Now keep in mind, many of them were not very old at this time, but already they understood what was faithful and what was true, and they tried to propagate that. So the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at that. Now, it won't be every Sunday night because we do have guests coming up. Not next Sunday, but the next Sunday on the 20th, we have John Nelms, who started Final Frontier Missionary Endeavor, using national pastors to plant churches all around the world. I read his last report for 2018. The statistics they had put together so far showed us that about every minute somebody through that ministry was led to Christ around the world. Every 4 minutes, a church was started around America, around the world, not in America, but around the world. Now, that can happen because to start churches on foreign fields, you don't need a building. You just need to meet. You just need to start evangelizing, then showing up every week. And that's what faithful national pastors are doing. Many of us support them. Our church supports about 40 or 50 national pastors, as well as all the other American missionaries. But I hope that you'll enjoy that. I know I will. Brother Nelms is an unusual man, and I love him as a dear friend, and I count him a dear friend. We are going to Honduras, and he will be there. That's where he chooses to live during the summer. So that's where he has the visionary trips, and they've got places to stay and apartments and all of that for people coming on mission trips. We will thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy that. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you found that and you're able, could we stand together as we read from God's Word? If you're not able, that's fine. Make yourself at home. And we're going to start reading at verse 12. And read down through verse 15 for our first faithful saying. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer right now. Lord, speak to our hearts from your word. We thank you for the good day you've given us. Speak to us once more, we pray. Holy Spirit, use the word. Let you be the preacher tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A faithful saying. In verse 15, we find that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy to be accepted by all who hear it. In the New Testament church, they had many faithful sayings. Some of those are repetitiously found in the New Testament. This is one of them. That phrase, faithful sayings, or a saying that's faithful and true. And so we're looking at that, and I believe that we have a message found in each and every one of them. As I've analyzed them, I find that each one is presenting a special truth. I would not preach the series if all those faithful sayings were the same basic type saying, just reworded. But all of them are emphasizing a different aspect of the gospel or the Christian life. And in this passage found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying of purpose, of purpose. You see, the New Testament church was surrounded around a person, and it was surrounded around a purpose. And that's what we want here at Grandview Baptist Church. We want everything to be surrounded around a person. His name is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We want everything surrounded around a purpose. That is to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. I've been a part of some churches very early in life, and all the churches I grew up in had those two purposes. Surrounded around a person. Surrounded around a purpose. Now, if we're not careful, it's easy for a church to get surrounded around a person and forget his purpose. One of the things that attracted me to a Baptist church that's not in a denomination so many years ago was the fact that churches like this had a passion to win people to Christ. And I grew up with that. I went to a very small church. Maybe 75 would be a big day. Probably in our 60s, maybe 65. I think one time we even broke 100 on a big day. But I grew up in a small church. Just a handful of teenagers, 6 or 8, maybe 10 or 12 at the most it ever got. But I had a pastor who cared about people. I had a pastor that went out every week sharing the gospel. I started doing that when I was 13 years of age. I was his silent partner. And I got really good at that part. I can be a good silent partner. Well, ever since I became a pastor, I'm not very good at that. I take a silent partner and they'll say, "Pastor, could I speak at the next door?" I say, "Sure you can. That's it over there. Go after it. I'm going to go over here." I'm not a very good silent partner anymore, but I was when I was 13 years of age. I could just go with my pastor. And by the way, that's where everyone ought to start. Just start by going to be a silent partner. Just follow someone. Shadow someone around. Listen to how they share the gospel. Listen to what they say when they knock on a door. Listen how they begin a conversation. Listen how they talk to all different ages of people. How they handle people who are not interested. How they handle people who are interested. It's a wonderful thing to learn how to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do not get the impression that every door you go to, you get to present a clear gospel message. That's not true. But you will find, if you'll keep going, you will find plenty of people that you can present a clear gospel message to, and you will find those people that are wanting to learn the truth. I hope our church never loses the vision to be a church that has a purpose. The New Testament church had a purpose. The person they worshiped was Jesus. The purpose was to share the gospel. Now, I love all the programs we have and all the different things, but understand this, that every program and everything we do as a church is all centered around one great purpose: telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, every Sunday, we see some of that on property. For every part that we see on property, there's 99.5% of it that happens off property. See, the gospel was not y'all come, it was go ye. Amen. Go ye into all the world. It wasn't get all the world to come into a building so we can present the gospel. Now granted, we're going to be faithful to do that. If God is so kind and gracious to send us people who don't know Christ, well, we're going to share the gospel and give them an opportunity to invite Christ into their life. But the greater opportunity is go into the world and share the gospel, because there's opportunity everywhere you look. I heard someone say many years ago, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. Every one of us need it. Amen? Amen? It's an exciting thing. And I hope that in 2019, your passion for souls and for the purpose of the local New Testament church and the purpose of us as Christians will reignite about sharing the gospel and seeing great things happen for the cause of Christ. I know that's been my prayer. I've set some personal goals for me and how many people I would like to personally lead to Christ. Not behind a pulpit, not in a church service, not in a meeting, but one-on-one, talking to people about Jesus Christ and seeing people come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say, there's nothing like it in the whole world. It's almost like getting saved all over again. It's almost so wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to know God could use you to change the eternal destiny of people you're talking to. And of course, we know we're just used of the Holy Spirit. This last Thursday, as we went out, I was talking to one of our college students who's home for the year, and she was mentioning how the Thursday before she got to lead her cousin to Christ. And I said, you know, God's really using you. And she said, well, it wasn't me, Pastor, it was the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's the right answer. It's never us. People don't get saved because of us. But the Holy Spirit uses us to bring people to that saving knowledge of Christ. A faithful saying of purpose. Purpose. Now, I have 3 points I want to share, but I don't want to leave it until we all understand that we as a church, we have a purpose. That purpose is to share Jesus Christ. You know, we say that the theme of our church, or the purpose of our church, is loving God and loving people. We made it very simple: loving God and loving people. But you know, we're not loving God unless we tell people about Him, and we're not loving people unless we share God with them. Amen. And so if we are going to love God and love people, we've got to be a people that learn to share the gospel and do it on a regular basis. So let me just share that with you. I know some of the best Christians in our church who don't get to go out on regular scheduled meetings, and sometimes they're our best spokesmen because they're talking about our church and talking about Jesus at the market and the grocery store and businesses and in their neighborhood. They're just a wonderful witness for the cause of Jesus Christ. A faithful saying of purpose. Three points I want to share with you. First of all, we see the mission of Christ. The mission of Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's his mission. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he gives this mission statement, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." It's amazing truth. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's another passage just like that found in the Gospels. And in the Gospels, it will say this. It will say, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." And it's interesting where that phrase is found, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." It's surrounded by a text that deals with Jesus Christ dealing with children. Children. You see, children have a heart for their Creator. They have a heart for their Savior. It's only as we get older and more hard-hearted that we find that the Son of Man has to come to seek and to save that which is lost. As we get older, and so in the passage that deals with adults, he includes seek and to save that which is lost. When I was a young boy, I'm not sure Jesus had to seek me. I just had to hear about him and I was ready for him. Yes. Young children have a heart for Christ. This morning as I shared the gospel and two young people trusted Christ as their Savior. One was a junior high young man and another was a young boy that was sitting up in the balcony. And I would just guess he was probably around 9 or 10 years of age. I sort of think 9's the perfect age. That's how old I was when I trusted Christ. But I think if I had heard it when I was 5, I would have accepted Christ. I just never had heard it. Children have a disposition to invite Christ into their life and trust Christ as their Savior. You know, by the time you're over 20, 25 years of age, it gets down to about 20% of people will invite Christ in their life after 20, 25 years of age. Almost all Christians, almost 85% of them, a large percentage of them, come to Jesus Christ as children, as young children. I want to say that's why children's ministries is so important. Man, it's so important. And it's so important that every children's ministry share the gospel. Because you're dealing with little sponges for Jesus. They will soak it up. Miss Vicki was telling me about the Little Bear Bible Club. And I told her one of the days we're going to do that. But in Little Bear Bible Club, they play games where they ask Bible questions. And those little children have the answers like that. She said, "Honey, I would hate to put that up against some of our adults because they just have those answers so quick." I said, "One of these days we're going to do that and we'll get some people on stage and then we'll have who's smarter than a third grader when it comes to the Bible." You'd be surprised. You know, if you were raised up in church, you'll know this is true. Most of the Bible knowledge you know, you learned as a junior boy or girl. Most of the Bible verses you know, you learned when you were a junior boy or girl. I know quite a few Bible verses, but I learned those when I was in Sunday school, and I learned them when I was in children's programs at a young age. Right now, I can barely remember where my keys are left, much less learning new Bible verses. As you get older, it gets harder. So please teach the scriptures to young children while they're young. They're just little gospel sponges, and we'll soak up all those spiritual truths. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's His mission. He didn't come to condemn us. By the way, Christians, that's not our role either.
Amen.
That's not our role either. I know we're living in bad times. And I know it's difficult times. And I know it's ungodly times. But we are not to be the critics of the times. We are to be the promoter of the gospel who alone can change the times.
Yes.
It's Christ that changes things. It's God that does things. Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. The Bible says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I don't know about you, but every time I come to church and there's a lot of people, I get excited.
Amen.
But you know what excites Christ? Every time one little boy or girl trusts Christ as their Savior. Every time some mom or dad, every time somebody gives their life to Christ, that's what makes heaven rejoice.
Amen.
Let's never think that the things that we enjoy are always the same things that God enjoys. And let's be a church that has got to enjoy the things that God enjoys. You know, on a regular Sunday night or Sunday morning during the service, at Imitation, we have had children's church, and we'll have a few boys or girls that have given their life to Christ that morning. We bring them out here and we introduce them and we'll tell their age and their name. And it's getting more difficult. Seems like everybody has a name I've never learned to pronounce anymore. But wonderful children. I guess when you have more and more people on planet Earth, you got to be more original in all the names. But they're wonderful kids. They come on our bus routes. They come driving in with their parents. Could I just say that one of the biggest things you could do is make a big deal out of every boy and girl that trusts Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And everyone that follows the Lord in believer's baptism, we ought to make a big deal. I know we all clap when they get baptized, but you know that's rejoicing, because in heaven they're rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth and entrusts Christ as their Savior. A faithful saying of purpose, we have the mission of Christ to seek and to save that which is lost. He came into the world to save sinners. And notice, secondly, the means to accomplish the mission. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, that word acceptation means a little bit different than what you and I think it means. We think it means to accept it. But actually what it's saying is to share it. So it's not saying just take it in, it's saying pass it on.
Amen.
So this is a faithful saying worthy to pass on, is what the meaning of it is. And that's why he's saying worthy of all acceptation. He's not just saying take it in and listen to it as truth. He's saying take it in and then pass it on. This is worthy of spreading, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It's worthy of all acceptation. Now, the means to share the gospel is always placed in man's hand. God thought it, Christ bought it, the Holy Spirit brought it through His conviction in wooing people to Christ, but He allowed us as Christians to share it. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe." And so we need to understand there's power in that gospel, and our job is to share it. And the means is to get as many people as possible out doing something for the cause of Christ. Now, it might be as simple as taking a gospel tract and just passing it out to someone. As we mentioned this morning, there's power in the tract. A young couple this morning with their children, a young junior high daughter, and then a young, is it son, that's in the nursery. And a wonderful family has been coming from Happy Valley for many weeks now. And just a tremendous group of people. I believe, I want to say, what country? Ukrainian, I believe they are. They're just wonderful, godly people. And we're so happy to have them here. But it was all because somebody just left something on their door. Now, I believe in passing out gospel tracts. I do. I really do. I really believe in more using a gospel tract as a means to share the gospel with people. Amen. One of the great joys of my life is getting to lead people on a regular basis to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Amen. Now, I love pastoring. I love preaching. But if I had to choose between pastoring and preaching and just sharing the gospel, I'd do both. But if I could only do one, I would share the gospel rather than pastor or preach. As much as I enjoy preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God, I enjoy so much just one-on-one seeing the Holy Spirit of God melt a heart and have that person invite Christ into their life. See, sharing the gospel is not about convincing someone. Sharing the gospel is finding someone the Holy Spirit is already convinced. And it's so easy to share the truth of Jesus once the Holy Spirit has already set you up with someone who already wants to invite Christ into their life. I was talking to one of our men here in the congregation just before the service. And I was asking him, how long have you been a Christian? And he was telling me, I think he gave me the date. I think he said in 2010, and he named the date that he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. He said, I've always loved to hear. I just never heard the gospel clearly until that day. Now, here was a grown man that always had a hunger and always had a curiosity and always had a desire to learn about some things from God. But it wasn't until that one day where it all came together and he had someone share with him the gospel. In fact, it was the young lady who was going to be his wife. And she shared the gospel, and then he walked the aisle and got saved that Sunday and baptized. And what a blessing that is. There's power in the gospel. I've had so many wonderful experiences sharing the gospel with people. It's such a blessing. Whether it's children or teenagers or adults or senior citizens. I've been able to lead several people to the Lord on their deathbed. The last day of their life, where normally they were not very lucid, couldn't understand things. And the family asked if I would go, and I went and was able to share the gospel. And for an amazing hour, they were just crystal clear in their memory. They were very lucid, could understand every word, carried on a conversation, trusted Christ as their Savior. And less than an hour later, they couldn't talk anymore. And less than a day later, they were in heaven. Last year, there were quite a few fires in Paradise, California. And many of us know how the fire went through that part of our country and destroyed so many homes and took many lives. When our church was just very young, a few years young, we were in a Bible study on a Wednesday night, and at that time I was teaching some adults, and we were actually in a room. We didn't need an auditorium. There was only about 15 of us, maybe 12 or 15. And I was teaching them, and we had prayer requests. And one of the ladies who's been in heaven for a long time, godly lady, she said, "Could you pray for my brother? He found out he has lung cancer, stage 4. It's not a lot they can do, but I'd appreciate it if you could pray for him." And I said to her, I said, "Is your brother a Christian?" And she said, "I don't think he is. He's never gone to church very often. I don't think he's a Christian." And I said to her that night, I said, for whatever reason, God just touched my heart about that. And I said, "Could you talk to him this week? And if he's willing for a preacher to come down there and talk with him, I'd be glad to go." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, I'd be glad to do that." And so that next Sunday, she came and she said, "Pastor, I talked with my brother and he said he'd be glad for you to." So I said, "Well, I'm going to do that." When I said that, one of our men, Merle White, who's the chairman of our deacon board, and at that time we didn't have any deacons, and he said, "Pastor, could I go with you?" I said, "Sure, Merle." And so we got in our car and we drove to Paradise, California. Now, I had no idea where that was. There was no cell phone. There was no MapQuest. We just got an old map that you had. See, maps you had to fold in and fold out, and it was all on paper for this younger generation. You don't understand that, but it used to be things had to be on paper. And it wasn't nearly as easy to find your destination. No map drove you up to the house that you were supposed to show up and the address. It was, I remember it, it was 505 miles from here to there. Because we drove back, it was 1,010 miles. We drove there, we spent 45 minutes. Him and his wife both got on their knees beside their couch, trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I shared the gospel first of all, and he wanted it. But he wasn't wanting to give his life to Christ because he said, "It's not right. I know I'm dying. I have nothing in my life to offer Christ. And it wouldn't be fair for me to be a Christian and then go to heaven." So I had the joy of telling about someone else like that who died alongside Jesus Christ. That thief on the cross. And when I told him about that story, he said, "Then I'll take it too." He graciously and joyously and with great tears trusted Christ as his Savior. We got back in our car and rejoiced all 505 miles back home. It's a great time. Miss Sally Dillman, whose brother it was, said, "Pastor, he's been going to church every single Sunday. And he did for the next 6 months that he lived." His wife kept going for about 2 or 3 years after that until her health fell apart. God changed their life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May I say that we are still the means to accomplish the mission? That's you and I. We're still it. We're not much, but we're still it. Luke chapter 10 verse 2 says, "Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." John chapter 20 verse 21 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so we find the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our mission. And we are the means. Now, Christ is in the soul-saving business, but he desires to use you and me. We're the carriers. We're the newsboys, if you will. We don't have it as much anymore, but when I grew up, there was always the paper boys in the neighborhood. It had their bicycle and always had a big one of those baskets on the front, steel baskets. Boy, when I was a boy, I always wanted a bike with a steel basket on the front. Not so I could do newspapers, because they got up at 4 a.m, but so I could just, those were little entrepreneurs, that's what they were. And they'd take those papers and they'd go throw them on the front yard, try to get them on the front porch. Most of them made it in the bushes or the front yard. And that's all you and I are. We didn't die for anyone. We didn't create the gospel. It's just our job to share it. That's our job. We're newsboys and newsgirls, and may 2019 be a year that we share the gospel with great boldness, knowing it's the great need of the world. Well, we said, first of all, that Jesus Christ is still the message and we're the means, but we find, what's the manner of men that are needed? Let's see if we qualify. Because I know every time I mention being used of God, there's always Christians that say, you know, I would love to get good enough as a Christian one day to let God use me. But let's find out what kind of Christian it takes for God to use them to share the gospel. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul says. Now let me just say, if the chiefest, the one who called himself the chiefest of sinners, still got to share the gospel, I think you and I qualify. Amen. I think you and I qualify. I have no doubt that we're all sinners, but it looks like the role of chiefest has already been taken by the Apostle Paul himself. And so the rest of us can be used of the Lord. One of the most amazing things about sharing the gospel, in my mind, is that God would condescend to use people like us. People like us. It's an amazing thing that God can use you. You say, well, Pastor, you certainly don't know about me. No, I don't, but Jesus does. And he still wants to use you. Well, Pastor, you don't know all my faults, and you don't know all my frailties, and you don't know all my sin, and you don't know all my disappointments, and you don't know all my weaknesses, and you don't know all the times I fall flat on my face. No, I don't. But Jesus does. And he still wants to use you. Oh, yeah, he'll still let you run a bus route. He'll still let you teach a Sunday school class. He'll still let you be used of him. Years ago, a great man of God, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., used to say that all we are is crooked sticks. Crooked sticks. But he would always say, but God can hit a pretty straight lick with a mighty crooked stick. God can do great things with you and I as Christians. And it's not who we are, it's what he does in us, it's what he does through us that gets the gospel out. Of whom I am chief. Acts chapter 20, verse 19, Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. All humility. You know, the best way for God to use you is to think of yourself as very little. Do you know in God's economy, the way up is down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due season He shall exalt you. He that exalted himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know the best way to keep humble? Just every morning, look in the mirror. Just every morning, just go look in the mirror. You'll be humble the rest of the day. I don't mean just look at your appearance. I mean look in that mirror and see yourselves for what you are. You're a sinner saved by God's grace. And we certainly ought to wake up every morning praising God for another day of His grace, His salvation, His forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I love that last phrase. I might by all means save some. I think we all know we're not going to turn this world around, but we sure can save some. We sure can save some. Reminds me of the lady that was raised up in the country raising her children. She had about 8 or 9 children. It was hard enough to figure out where they all were. She was almost like the older woman who lived in a shoe and had so many children she didn't know what to do. By the way, let me also say that I do believe having a large family is a virtue and a blessing. It's not a hindrance. I wish Christians would get back to having larger families. They are the biggest blessing. Let me say, when that last one leaves the house, you'll wish you had several more that could have stayed home. They're a wonderful thing. They're a wonderful thing. So go and do thou likewise. She had so many children, and the county came by, and she lived on a gravel road, and the county came by and said, "Now, you got to watch these children because we're going to tar the road. And if you ever lived out in the country on a gravel road, you know that they used to deposit oil and tar. Now it's not so environmentally friendly, but they used to always have something to do with all that old oil. They would just take it out in the country and cover it on all the roads. They drop some of it in all the ponds to kill all the mosquitoes. And you didn't need chemicals, just put a little oil in there and it'd kill all the everything. Well, we frown on those things now, but... So she told the kids, "All stay in the house, stay in the house." But sure enough, one of them got away and went out and ran across the road and tripped and fell down and rolled over and come back to the house. And he's got tar in his hair and tar on his clothes and tar in his fingernails and tar on his skin. And she's getting some rubbing alcohol and stuff and kerosene and trying to get all that tar off of him. And in the midst of it, she said, "Lord of mercy, it'd be easier to have another one than to clean this one up." May I say that it's going to be easier to get another world that's brand new than to clean this one up. And we're going to a world that's made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't be long. We'll all be there. It'll be like the blink of an eye. Time travel so fast, and we'll all be in heaven in a new world where there's no sin and no temptation and no defeat, and all is victory and blessing forevermore, and no arthritis and no sore shoulders and knees and hips and no cancer and migraines and no livers that don't operate and kidneys that don't function. And we will be in a land that's blessed forevermore with our Savior. Acts 15:25-26 says, "It seemeth good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men with you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've been sharing the gospel for a long time. I've never hazarded my life for the gospel. Never have. I think those are going to be the real heroes in heaven, people who have hazarded their life. Now, I do remember as a teenager, I had a hippie, which you'd have to live through the 70s even to understand that movement. In the Oregon, we have people in their 70s. They never grew out of the hippie movement. They're in their 80s and 90s, but they never outgrew it. And I was asking this hippie on the steps of the Parthenon in Nashville, Tennessee, and if he died today, did he know he'd go to heaven? And he reached in his coat and he pulled out a knife blade and he stuck it up to my ribs. And he said, "What if you died today? Would you go to heaven?" Well, I looked at that knife blade and it was the blade from an electric knife. It was rounded just like this. There's no sharp point on it whatsoever. He'd have to saw me in two. I almost laughed at him. I said, "Sir, I know where I'm going. The question's, where are you going?" I do remember I witnessed in one place and someone had a stick and they threw it at me. But let me say, they missed me by 12 feet, so they weren't a good aim. So, I mean, I've not hazarded my life for the cause of Christ at all. But in heaven, we're going to meet some people who have. And we might be awfully ashamed to share with them we didn't share the gospel when nobody was after us. We didn't share the gospel and nobody ever threatened us. Nobody ever whipped us with a Roman cat of nine tails 5 times. None of us were shipwrecked in the deep because we were going to share the gospel. Let me say a faithful saying of purpose. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's make sure that Grandview Baptist Church exalts the person. That's our Savior. But let's also lift up the purpose, and that's to share the gospel everywhere we go. Amen.